Good evening, everybody. Tonight is Wednesday night, and we continue working our way through The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. The Hidden Work is one of the many offerings that he has made, that the E.J. Gold has made in a written form that helps guide us in many ways. And we've taken many, many weeks to go through and study the chapters. The fundamental part, the fundamental theme of The Hidden Work is prayer absolute. And we see prayer absolute unfolded, as it were, throughout the various chapters. In the prayer itself is presented in chapter 11, and then we proceed with different aspects of it. Here we are now in chapter 14, and chapter 14 is called Angel Training. And in the middle of the chapter, on page 149 actually, is a list of the seven celestial halls, or the heavens. And each one of those heavens is has a angelic warden to it. And each of the angelic wardens then is, in a sense, the CEO of their particular angelic realm and has duties to perform. So a few weeks ago, we asked everybody to take a look at that particular page, and without anything other than that, to go through it and to say, which angel are you particularly, just to have a tend toward or just have a feeling for. And interestingly enough, people just by themselves, without trying to be put together, selected various halls. And that selection then wound up in individuals participating and being part of then a choir. And each of those choirs has formed. And 2 weeks ago, we had the third choir and the angel Haniel present to us, and they presented and brought us into the space of that particular angelic being to help us understand. We are in the midst of an experiment, and the experiment is to, we've launched ourselves off in our from our boat of comfort into an area where it's clear that it's something that we don't understand. And we are just experimenting with what we've already found, is that certain people are attracted to these various the various choirs. I'm going to say a few more things, but what I'd like is to have Ivan read the header of the chapter to, in a sense, orient us so we can see where we are in this particular kind of work. And I'll expand a little bit more on the work of each of those choirs. Thank you, Ivan.
Okay, chapter 14. Angelic choirs. Angel training is a method of drawing down the higher mental, emotional, and moving postures from one of the angelic beings who is already in the work, so that by observation, we may practice these work methods and form an angelic work identity with one of them.
So in that effort of focus, in the effort of finding, in a sense, that angelic being that we can, it's a way of learning. It's a way of learning, and the learning allows us into a space. It's the effort of getting into the space that allows us then, and the focus of getting into the space that allows us into a different chamber. And we were presented with the chamber a couple of weeks ago, and tonight the choir of that fifth hall has come forth, and that choir would like to speak to us. So each of us then should rest aside our thoughts and our expectations, and just be in a receptive mode and see how then forth this choir presents to us, and let us then walk into that fifth hall and see what with what we are presented. And with that, I begin and present to you that fifth choir. Go ahead.
Thank you, David. This is Silverdale speaking. I know you sent out a copy of the remarks that I'll be making tonight. For those who have that available, you can follow along. Otherwise, just pay close attention. I want to just make a prefatory remark to what I've written. This written presentation is intended to be a three-part invocation of presence in order to guide us into the chamber for which Sandolphin is the ruler. I am trying to associate the choirs together with prayer absolute. So the first part of this invocation is addressed to our lower moving center, as in motion bowing, my presence comes to thee. So this first part is intended to magnetize our presence and set it in motion toward that part of the labyrinth where we wish to find Sandolphin. Subsequently, the second part of this invocation is addressed to our feeling center, as in, humbly with heart alive, my presence awakens to thee. And so the second part of this invocation is intended to arouse the feeling of Sandolphin within ourself. And finally, the third part of this invocation is addressed to our lower thinking center, as in, with clear mind, my presence comes to know thee. And it's this third part of the invocation that is intended to clarify our vision of the presence of the Absolute, which is when Simon will take over. Okay. Now, I will be invoking my own presence as I go through this, and by extension, the presence of all those who are participating tonight in the scope and in the scale of the presence of the Absolute. So, in motion bowing, my presence comes to thee, consists of two parts. The first part is the macrocosmos of the Absolute, and the second part is of the microcosmic reflected in our personal prayer absolute. So, in my opinion, the books of E.J. Gold represent an extension of the fundamental foundational ideas of G.I. Gurdjieff, as expressed in his trilogy, All and Everything, as well as Upensky's recollection of these ideas as summarized in his book, In Search of the Miraculous. Gurdjieff introduced the idea of the ray of creation to illustrate and explain how the unified presence of the Absolute, a single unity, in fragments and involves as it passes through the seven dimensions or cosmoses of the creation. And it's to this that the book The Hidden Work refers on page 155. Each of the choirs correspond to one of the descending cosmoses, which fall into smaller and smaller fragmentations as they descend into lesser and lesser octaves from the first great octave. So that, for instance, the highest choir, that is the first choir for which Gabriel is the ruler, would be all quarters common cosmic maintainers, and so forth down the scale. The next paragraph, the lowest choir, that is the seventh choir for which Cassiel is the ruler, would represent that dimension immediately accessible to those forms of life in the animal and mineral kingdom, among which human beings of the planet Earth happen to have the misfortune to belong. Thus, we learn that we begin our initial transformational work efforts in the seventh choir of Cassiel, and once initiated, are able to enter and be initiated in the sixth choir of Zakiel. Then we are able to enter the dimension of the fifth choir ruled by Sandolphin, which is two dimensions closer to the absolute than from where we began our efforts toward self-perfecting. In our returning evolutionary ascent through the cosmoses toward the unified presence of the absolute, we increasingly achieve and experience greater degrees of personal unified presence and correspondence with the image of God. This is a macro orientation for our presence, where we are and the path of returning ascent. The second half of this in motion bowing, my presence comes to thee, is in prayer absolute. So that on page 128 of the Hidden Work, we learn that prayer absolute is in the form of an objective nine-stepped octave, which includes two intentional retardations introduced by the internal activities, which is to say, the radiations of non-negative force of an awakened biological machine. Step one is the physical, step two, the emotional, step three, the intellectual, step four, the real emotional, step five, the real intellectual. The first instruction reads, in motion bowing, my presence comes to thee. This is the first note, do. In my understanding, this first instruction corresponds to and is a brief summary of the mental, emotional, and moving posture of Cassiel, ruler of the seventh choir. The second instruction, humbly with heart alive, my presence awakens to thee. This is the second note, ray, and represents the mental, emotional, and moving postures of Zakiel, ruler of the sixth choir. The third instruction, with clear mind, my presence comes to know thee. This is the third note, me, and represents the mental, emotional, and moving posture of Sandolphin, ruler of the fifth choir. So on page 79 of the Hidden Work, it says, one can transform the biological machine into an apparatus for the transformation of the being by awakening the machine and bringing the work of the lower centrums into the voluntary. This is to say that as we are able to pacify the lower physical, emotional, and thinking centers by means of the invocation of our presence, we are able to engage in angel training. That is, draw down the higher mental, emotional, and moving postures of the angelic beings who are already in the work. This ends the first part of the invocation. In motion, bowing, my presence comes to thee. So moving on to the second part of the invocation, humbly, with heart alive, my presence awakens to thee. In this part of the invocation, I will be sharing some important and significant ideas that are recorded in the literature regarding Sandolphin. So now we're trying to touch our feeling center and use it as a means for awakening to the presence of the Absolute. First, Sandolphin and his twin brother Metatron are the only archangels who were once mortal men. Sandolphin lived as the prophet Elijah, and Metatron was the wise scribe Enoch. Elijah, who becomes Sandolphin, made his ascension to heaven via a horse-drawn chariot of fire and light. So this signifies the possibility of transformation. A second characteristic of Sandolphin. Sandolphin knows from personal experience what it is to live as a mortal. He has personal experience with ascending through the physical realm to higher levels of consciousness. As angelic ambassador of personal ascension, Sandolphin is an excellent angelic ally to those who are dedicated to a path of self-discovery, personal growth, and ascension. He serves with infinite compassion and personal understanding and is devoted to supporting us through our own ascension process. A third characteristic. Sandolphin is strongly associated with heavenly celestial music and serves as an angelic muse to musicians, composers, singers, and the like. Within his role as angelic ambassador of music, Sandolphin is aligned with all forms of sound therapy and utilizing music, song, and sound for healing and for clearing energy and raising the vibration within ourselves and our environment. A fourth characteristic of Sandolphin. As angelic ambassador of prayers, Sandolphin's angelic responsibilities include delivering our prayers to the divine universal source. Sandolphin reminds us of the power of prayer, as well as that when we open our heart, mind, and spirit in any form of prayer, we are joined and supported by an infinite number of celestial light beings, angels, ascended masters, guardians, and guides. A fifth characteristic of Sandolphin. Sandolphin is the guardian at the bottom of the Sephiroth, the tree of life. In this position, he is regarded as the embryo of all the possibilities arising within the tree of life, as well as being instrumental in bringing about the differentiation of sexes in the embryo. A sixth characteristic of Sandolphin. Sandolphin is said to be the tallest of angels, so tall that his height enables him to reach from the earth plane to heaven. Within this energy, Sandolphin demonstrates how we are innately connected to both heaven and earth. He helps us to balance the energy of the physical and the divine within us, and to consciously channel and utilize both energies to our benefit. And the seventh and final characteristic of Sandolphin, Sandolphin stands for courage, silence, knowledge, will, and manifestation. So now moving on to the third part of our invocation. With clear mind, my presence comes to know thee. Our previous work efforts have been directed towards separating the submerged electrical field of the essential self from the dominant and unconscious force of the electrical field of the human biological machine and its merciless tyrant, the historical personality. Success in these work efforts has produced the presence, which is referenced in every line of prayer absolute. That is, my presence comes to thee, my presence awakens to thee, my presence comes to know thee, and so on. As we are initiated in each of the choirs, our presence gradually matures and acquires the equilibrium and stability necessary for further growth and development of voluntary evolutionary transformation. In our experimental efforts directed towards invoking the attributes of Sandolphin within ourselves, our attention has focused on that dimension to which the third instruction of Prayer Absolute applies. Namely, with clear mind, my presence comes to know thee. So as we begin prayer absolute in the seventh choir, we observe and experience a natural relaxation of our physical manifestations, as well as the dissipation of the tensions that the body is normally subject to. In motion bowing, my presence comes to thee. In passing through the sixth choir, we observe and experience the resolution of many feelings into the single feeling of presence. Humbly, with heart alive, my presence awakens to thee. Finally, in entering the fifth choir, for which Sandolphin is the ruler, we observe that the multiplicity and diversity of our unconscious and reactive thought processes gradually subside and evaporate. Our singular presence of mind reduces, resolves, and eliminates the dissonant fragmentation that is a dominant characteristic of the historical personality. Our whole presence is more harmonious and consonant with serenity of mind, thereby building on the tranquility of feeling and happiness of bodily manifestations previously attained and established. And with that, Simon Templar will continue.
Thank you, George. So we will pass into the invocation. And we are going to explore, and we will go to Wojciech. So together, into with clear mind, my person comes to know thee. I'm just asking you to sit or stand, if you wish. I will ask you to not have anything in your hands, like a pen or touching something. And I'm going to read in my own or in the phone the initial prayer that you can follow, and you can read it for yourself as your own, as well, your own prayer, and follow the one I'm going to do as well in the phone. Beloved Archangel Sandalphon, Prince of Prayers, the Archangels and the Angels, I invoke your attention, presence, love and light to encapsulate me now and the earth. Let your love shine as a torch of light into my soul and heart, awakening and invigorating the natural loving energies that I hold. Pour your consciousness into my entire being and energy bodies so that I may exist as the pure and blissful love of the angels. Allow me to experience a presence and love that is greater than I have previously experienced. So please follow me in these directions, and I will guide you somewhere there in the labyrinth. So in a voluntary act, please, we awaken our machines now. Be relaxed, loose, with your eyes opened. Become aware of your body and your surroundings. Anchor in this initial awakened state, and in profound stillness and silence, we are stopping the world. We are stopping the world. No thoughts. We are only anchoring ourselves in our sensations, and our mind is just facing the reality that is surrounding you, sensing our bodies in presence and observing your immediate reality that surrounds you gently, gently. We are not anymore in the domains of the machine, but we will be carried by the force of our essential self. It will take us beyond this state to a different concrete chamber. A different radiation of consciousness. but no longer belongs to that realm of the mechanical machine, but to the life of the essential self. The essential self is now the observer. Continue witnessing and gazing your reality calmly, gently. In this chamber, all that we perceive as the outside life, although in recognizable forms, is not longer the same anymore. We left behind the old, and with our new eyes, we recognize in front of us all the manifestations of lives, of beings, of things, as a total expression and presence of the Absolute. We have become aware, and we sense that what we observe, is the manifested dream of the Absolute. We can see this new quality of our vision. Stay there. Continue observing this divine manifestation around you, and you as the witness. Stay in that chamber. There, the Absolute is. Right there, in front of our eyes. Sense the texture of his dream. Sense the texture of your perceptions. As a dream. We come to know thee. We come to know thee. In this way, we have united the highest with the lowest. We bring the divine into our realm, into our experience. The physical world of Malkuth and God in the highest sphere of Kether, Sandalphon and Metatron. Sandalphon, the tallest angel, reaches all. Keep witnessing this dream of which we are part of. Gently, the nature and texture of what you're observing. The divine is as much in the beautiful flower as in a decomposed corpse of a soldier. The beautiful and the ugly unified. We have become not only true witnesses, but participants, aware and in clear mind of his dream, the dream of the Absolute. I am Sandalphon.
So thank you, choir. And we now stand in the chamber of Sandalphon. And in that chamber is the tone called, "With clear mind, my presence comes to know thee." And what I'd like to do then is go around at the invitation of the choir and speak our clear mind then. What is the word or two that comes from the chamber called, "With clear mind, my presence comes to know thee"? Silverdale?
I am that I am.
Simon?
I am one.
Kianjo?
Clarity of mind serves God.
Susan, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
I see a rising sun, a rising of the sun that has the qualities of the absolute sun, the rising of a clear light rather than.
With clear mind, I see the clarity of my path. Path world. Susan, can you read? Can you hear now, Susan?
Did you get my word?
No, your phone was very noisy.
Sorry,
go ahead. Very clear.
My word was calm presence.
Calm presence. And can you speak the words when someone speaks, if they enter it on the log, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Path world.
So let's see, I have Lost Horizon and Path World.
Go ahead.
So Lost Horizon. David, with clear mind, I see the clarity of my path.
Lost Horizon is also entering what the people have vocalized on the phone. So go to Path World.
I am silent.
Mark Roche.
Invocation and witnessing.
Winnipeg 9. Texas Rosie.
Winnipeg 9, Clarity of nothingness.
Antimatter.
Antimatter. With clear mind, the world behind the world is here. There is no fear, and love appears.
Vatsra.
Sierra.
Okay, Sierra.
With clear mind, I like all there is.
If. Lady.
I am light.
Mark Circa.
Pip, you will not die. You will not die. All things of A and B aside.
Nice. Doc Goth.
Lost Horizon. The light within is the light without.
Thank you. Thank you for, thank you, the Fifth Choir, for presenting this opportunity to us. Thank you for allowing us to be and introduced to Sandalphon. This concludes that part of the presentation. And would like to open it up to any other comments anyone would like to make or discuss. Go ahead. Thank you. Simon, George.
I was just thinking that this invocation, this is Simon.
A little bit louder, please.
I was just thinking that in this invocation, hopefully we were able to be carried.
We were able
to to be carried away into that realm of the essential self. And the nature of your experience, when you experience that chamber, the intensity of that vision, of that sensing towards your reality as a manifestation of the Absolute, it will be given, it's a very individual experience, of course, and it is given by the intensity of your essential self. So we may have experienced different intensities of that vision, of that sensing towards our reality.
At the top of 147 in this chapter, 14, these initiations into the work of higher dimensions cannot be transmitted by oral information, university style. They can be acquired only by higher use of attention, concentrated in the most intense study of the biological machine, while it is temporarily under the influence of the work of higher dimensions.
David, I have a comment here.
Please.
From Bathura. He said, I just got a call from my dispatch. My boss, FJ, is dying and may not make it to morning.
Okay.
I want you to share that.
Thank you. Thank you, Bathura. That experience, that is in this part of this space, that's part of the element that is in this then. That particular individual was brought into this space because Bhatra had put in the efforts to come to this event tonight, and then with Silverdale and Simon opening this space for all of us, including, I think it was SJ. For my part, what I've been trying to do in the last few days is focus more and more on my internal vibratory sensation rather than just the external. So during this evening, as these two members of the choir were presenting to us, I at times felt very, very expansive, and I felt these moments of, I could see the moments of clarity, and for me it was the clarity of path that was presented. It doesn't have a mental shape yet, but there's a tone of clarity for path came to me. The other thing I wanted to say was that the third member of the choir is part of this choir, and that's Jim H. Jim H. has been ill, and he wasn't able to participate tonight on the phone in the choir, but has been part of this in his own manner, and he's helped us in many ways, I think. So let's just remember that he is part of this as well.
I do also have Jana's words.
Okay.
That's appropriate.
She's shaking her head, not at the moment. Yeah, no, go ahead and read it for the recording so others can hear it.
So, Jana, I awaken to do moonlight and crickets.
Okay. That's okay. Good.
And then Mark Roach is saying that his name, S.J., is enough, but is there any other relevant information about him, Bathra, that you feel would be helpful for the runners or readers to know about? And Bathra answers back, he is 80 years old. I've known him for 30 years. That's what she says so far.
Okay, very good.
I'm getting, I've gotten a feeling from this about the, I had a very strong feeling about this expansion, the size of these angels, the idea that this Sandalphon and the brother angel, is it Metatron?
Yeah.
Or that they're taller than other angels, that they have, they're exceptionally tall, and that, you know, they, it seems like it's in their nature to be giants, you know, to be very large. And I got a feeling from this about the, you know, that those angels need to be that tall because they're connecting such different realms, such different dimensions. You know, the angel that's standing on in our dimension and that's reaching then the body, yeah, is going right from Malkuth to Kether. It's reaching from the material or the lower vibration all the way up into heaven. And then when this passage that David read, I thought this may be a little free associational, but it struck me that it's we're pulling all of these things into our clarity of mind here in this session, and then it reminds me of this very favorite quote of mine, that there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are thought of in your philosophy, which is another way of saying that the university style thinking, well, you know, is not going to work to get your head around these higher centers experience, let's say, more the higher intellectual or the higher emotional. And I think this process is very interesting because, I have to say personally, you know, I brought in the poetry of Rilke's to read. I have a tremendous respect for these individuals, say writers, artists, religious people who say that, you know, that they have some personal relationship with an angel, that they have some feeling that's tangible, you know, for them, that they feel that they've had some contact with angels. I've never felt that way, but this is doing this experiment here, what we did with Haniel, and now this approach to Sandalphon, you know, is giving me, I'm feeling like I have some entree, like there's some opening for me to have a personal feeling about these angels. So I think that's very promising. It's very interesting.
So there's one more set of words.
Go ahead.
From Winnipeg 9.
Yes.
Clarity of nothingness.
Yeah, this is the clarity of
nothingness.
These are really wonderful comments. Susan also put up a comment on the Wings of Chaos website, which is a summarization of the presentation by the third choir on Haniel, and just listed out what everybody said, and it was really wonderful to read that.
Right.
And that's why I've asked Lost Horizon to put in even what we have said over the speaker here, because then we have, and I'll have that up as the log, and it's just a wonderful listing of what I call, you know, experienced players, experienced operatives
everybody that's here tonight on either here physically or on the phone or who has logged in are experienced operatives. These are no beginners. And the opportunity given by this fifth choir, and Jim H. included, the opportunity that and the effort that these two individuals have put in to present to us helped us get into this space that allowed us to speak something from that space. And in a sense, it does help us get in touch with that.
Yeah, I think it's an opening.
Yeah.
It's something to look into further, certainly. Yeah, see, I get a feeling from this presentation that they gave us tonight also about it's stirring up ideas, you know, about, I also never had much feeling for this Jacob's ladder, you know, for the ladder that reaches from earth up into the heavens. But, you know, I got a strong feeling from this presentation tonight about, you know, that there's a correspondence. Like what George seemed to be talking about was a correspondence of this ladder, let's say,
yeah,
through a lot of different dimensions, that the correspondence is a vibrational signatures, you know, the vibrational atmosphere that we arrive at, or vibrational mark points that we move through.
How does that ring to you, Silverdale? Like rungs on a ladder?
Well, very much so. You know, I didn't mention this in my presentation tonight, but one of the aspects of the ray of creation is that in the first descent from the one law of the absolute, the next level down, which would be the first choir, is under three laws, just the three forces of affirming, denying, reconciling without any differentiation. The next step down, the second choir, is now under six laws, both the three laws of the first choir as well as its own three laws of affirming, denying, reconciling. And so the third choir would be under 12 laws, its own three plus the six from choir two plus the three from choir one. The fourth choir would be under 24 laws. Sandolphin would be under 48 laws. And so what you have is this interpenetration of all of these increasingly fragmented parts of the one presence of the absolute that permeates everything. And what we're trying to do is go from the seventh choir, where we're really under 192 laws. Those angels are under 192 laws. They probably keep everything going from the microscopic to the – and then, but they're still incorporated within these.
Right.
You want to move up to only being under 96 laws, and Sandolphin would be under 48 laws. Then of course we have to go over that Nephal retardation or interval to begin to participate in the higher hierarchies of the angelic ladder.
Good.
I have a comment.
Please, go ahead.
Tip, he said, I imagine, though I cannot confirm, in 1984 I met a very tall angel who led me to a guide who would prove invaluable to kill me, esoterically speaking.
Wow.
Yeah, then we'll see. Those must be the experiences that take place on earth as it is in heaven. I always wondered what that expression meant.
Well, she's been through a lot and carries a lot of experience. I'm glad she shared that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any closing words, Simon or Silverdale?
Not here.
No, okay. No. Thank you. Thank you so much to all of you.
Thank you. Both of you for all the lot of work you've done, and I'll post those on the website as well. And next week we will have another presentation, and this will be from the second choir, Raphael. Is that right, Pianjo?
Yes.
Okay. So thank you all for coming again, and we'll look forward to
seeing.
Yes, please.
Well, I just wanted to say that when Simon was doing his invocation,
yeah,
I could really feel that I was being led down a path. And the way that he read it with space in between gave the time to kind of absorb the information.
I agree, David. I had the same experience. It was very nice.
Well, I'm so glad that you know that eventually we have a clear confirmation that you were somewhere, that you were sent somewhere there.
Yes.
The best reward, if any.
And as far as Silverdale's, it's wonderful, and of course, a lot of information. I'm really happy to have it written down so I can look back at it. It's when you kind of put Gurdjieff's work with E.J. Gold's work, it kind of makes things click into place for me a little bit.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
Nice presentation.
Okay. Thank you all. Good night, and we'll see you next week.